And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we broadcast live every weeknight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Folks, we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio, and you can watch us live, well, usually on our official YouTube channel. Unfortunately, right now, due to a number of factors, and I suppose the guest and topic might be a factor. At least I believe it to be. You could watch us live usually on our YouTube channel, but not tonight, folks. We're dark on YouTube, but going strong all across the United States and worldwide on the Global Star Radio Network, as well as simulcast on BTR, Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, folks, we've got two separate websites, HagmanandHagman.com for show information and HagmanReport.com for information and analysis. And I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son, Joe Hagman. Together, we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. We're going to get right to the show tonight. We've got just a fantastic program planned for you tonight. Want to mention, however, portions of the nice broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. That's nuts.com. Are we nuts? We must be if we're doing this. Yeah, nuts.com. What a great website, folks. Visit nuts.com. There you're going to find an incredible array of snacks, nuts, and whatever might tickle your taste buds. Just use our code HH in the microphone box. That's nuts.com, HH in the microphone box. Also, wholetoneslive.com. wholetoneslive.com. What a great website for music. The King David music. Just to calm your stresses, as we have them here in our office, the stresses, but they're offset by wholetoneslive.com. Joe, it's got a great show tonight, hours one and two. Steve Quayle from stevequayle.com, and also a very special guest tonight as well. Not that Steve's not special, he certainly is, but indeed, a gentleman behind the movie Armageddon. Armageddon. Next stop. If you haven't seen it before, or if you haven't seen the trailer for it, it's linked off of HagmanandHagman.com and stevequayle.com.
Yeah, it's going to be a fantastic show tonight. And this Armageddon movie trailer can be found if you on the Facebook site. If you just go search Armageddon, 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 you can find the trailer and watch that. And if I remember correctly, I believe he said the trailer has over 300,000 views already. Lots of interest in this film.
Absolutely. And Steve Quayle is our guest. He's going to be interviewing Mr. Gary Haven. Steve, we're going to turn it right over to you, sir.
Well, first of all, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's really important that, just to put everything into perspective, I told Gary Haven, who is a producer and the first gentleman you see addressing Congress in the movie Armageddon, but I think, Doug, why don't you read a little of his bio? Because I think it's important for people to understand that this is not just an ordinary man that God has raised up. This is an extraordinary man, and I say that with full honor to the living God, but, you know, God places strategic people in strategic places for the absolute time that, in essence, we're all created when we give our hearts to the Lord for those purposes he's provided for us. So go ahead and read his bio, if you would, because I'll do the interview, but I want people to hear who it is we're, interviewing. And when you're talking about Gary Haven, you're talking about a man that has a pretty amazing communication skills, but more than that, leadership skills. And my prayer tonight is that people will get an understanding for the heart of the man behind this movie, because as I told Gary, I said, Gary, you're surfing the headlines on a daily basis, and the show the movie will be released, I believe, in early April, and that's still up in the air. But anyway, Doug, go ahead and read his bio.
You know, as much as I'd like to, Steve, I don't want to get it wrong. Our computers just went out across the board here. Okay, I have got.
Are
no,
you kidding
I,
me?
No,
Jerry, welcome to computer purgatory, I guess you'd call it.
So, we're just hanging by a thread. So, if Gary can introduce himself, we'd be much obliged.
Go ahead, Gary. Well, give a little background.
Okay. Steve, it's what a gracious intro you've already began. I appreciate those kind words. And I'll tell the audience a little bit about myself. I'm a former CEO, and I was the founder of Curves, the women's fitness franchise. My wife and I founded it 23 years ago, and it became not only the fastest growing of any franchise company in history, and the largest fitness franchise in the world, with locations in over 90 countries, the 10th largest of all franchise companies in the world. And we attribute the success Curves to a couple of things. One is honoring God in all we do, and the Bible says that if you honor him, he'll honor you, and he was faithful to do just that. We also went to work each day with a set of values, Judeo-Christian values. You know, those old-fashioned values, and they're simple. Tell the truth, do what you say. He who would be greatest would be the servant of others. And we proved that those Judeo-Christian values were a fabulous foundation to build a business on. And over this last 25 years, having the opportunity to reach out and influence the quality of life of millions of women, it gave me a platform to lift up the unborn, and to lift up women in cultures in the Middle East and Japan and other places where they tend to be considered second-class citizens. And so I've just had a great privilege of being able to serve. And you know, there's an old baseball metaphor: if you serve, they will come. And I tell you, if I want to encourage people to do that in their daily walk, to get up and do something, be available. And I'm at a point in my life now where I've sold my company. I've been retired for 3 years, and I have, quite frankly, a great deal of wealth and a platform to continue to serve. And my goal right now is to do a couple of things. One is I'm a pilot, and I fly food and medical supplies into Haiti and Central America, and we feed tens of thousands of children a day. That's a great privilege. And also had an opportunity to influence the culture. You know, our country's in a very desperate situation, and I realized that if you could entertain people, that they might listen. In other words, if you made a great movie that was fun to watch, but it had a message that was deadly serious, that people would come and they would hear the message, and then we could make a difference in our country. And of course, the movie that we're going to talk about tonight is Armageddon, and it's about an electromagnetic pulse that is perpetrated on America, and it's about the government and its unwillingness, even maybe enabling this to happen, to bring down our society. So thanks for the opportunity to let me introduce myself, Steve.
Well, I think, too, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's important to understand is that Gary has a heart for women and for the unborn. And while women's rights movement people claim to represent the women, Gary can tell you from around the world, as he ministers and feeds them literally and provides seminars, health issues for them, medical issues, or not medical services, forgive me, that they see a different America than what's portrayed on the movies, excuse me, the television screen, because Gary's out there where they live, and as a pilot, and he's got some amazing ratings and does a lot of flying, I think is critical. Now, Gary, what's interesting is I went and looked up Red Dawn. In 1984, that was produced. That was about the Russian invasion of the United States. Patrick Swayze was in it, Jennifer Grey. And I remember watching that and believing then that that would be the future of America at some point. Then in 2012, there was a remake of Red Dawn, and if you remember, the North Koreans threw a fit because they were North Korean troops that had invaded the U.S. soil, but originally it was Chinese, and it was the Chinese, forgive me, that threw the fit. When I first watched your trailer, I thought, this is my exact first thoughts, and I think most people that watch it tonight, and I'm encouraging everybody to watch it, it's like God gave you a view of the headlines, and in essence, the entire plot of American shows, does it not? We're sold out from within?
Yes, and you know, that's probably the biggest story that we all should be talking about. And of course, Joe and Doug talk about it all the time. You know, there's a power in this country that has a purpose, and the purpose is not for the benefit of you and me and our kids and our grandkids. And depicting that power and showing it to people so that they can become aware is the most critical thing that we can be doing.
Well, and again, it's fascinating because when you were, deciding to make the movie, you rubbed shoulders, and ladies and gentlemen, obviously God has blessed him with a great deal of wealth. He's in the top 1% financially worldwide. But as you rub shoulders, Gary, and talk to the movers and shakers and guys that are, you know, in your league, what is the thing that is the most surprising to you? Because I think it's important that people understand, because it seems, and you and I have talked about it at length, that obviously the control of this country's financial system comes from outside the country. But do you believe that the majority of people that are in that category of billionaires, do you believe, as you've rubbed the ones you know, do they get it? Do they really get it as to the lateness of the hour?
That's an interesting question, Steve, and I'm personal friends with a number of billionaires, every opportunity I have, I ask leading questions to try to discover where they're at, and it's interesting that most of them are simply too busy running their businesses to be involved in something as nefarious as what's really happening. And when people are vested in their status, they tend to acquire a bias to normalcy. And the more vested you are, and I'm talking about intellectuals and certainly the ultra wealthy, they don't really want to question reality too much. And I'll give you a good example. I'm friends with T. Boone Pickens, and he owns most of the water rights in the U.S. His ranch, which I've been to, sits on the Ocalatha, and I'm going to get that wrong, water fire, which goes from Texas all the way up into Kansas. And Dave Hodges often depicts T. Boone Pickens is this evil mastermind who's controlled the water for the sake of power and so forth. And I having known him and talked to him and walked through over the water aquifer with him, I can tell you, he gives most of his money away. He's 83 years old now. He's a really good guy who's generous. He just happened to have an opportunity to acquire assets with great value. And I don't believe he's going to hoard that money or use it. He's at a point in his life where he's really giving everything away back to people. So I don't think most of these guys are bad guys. They're just vested in their status and their quality of life, and they don't want to be distracted or have to deal with the reality that's going on out there. You know, the really bad people are people like the George Soros's or the Henry Kissinger's. These are just bad dudes. And these people actively work and pursue power, and they pursue absolute power. You know, we all hear the quote, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But there's another sentence to that quote that should be quoted. And the third sentence that you never hear is that most powerful people are bad people. And that's the rest of that quote, which I think is critical. But most of the wealthy people, they're just busy making their money, and they don't want to risk their status. It's kind of like these college professors who continue to teach this nonsense. Well, they want to keep their jobs, and they want to keep their friends. And that's more valuable to them than truth.
So in essence, they're, and these are my words, ladies and gentlemen, so don't go saying that Gary Haven says this. I always make that differentiation so they come at me for this, but, you know, the intellectual prostitution, the friendship with the world is more important than the truth. Have you observed that pretty much? And I'm not talking about, you know, it's interesting because there's a difference I found between Texas, you guys that are Texas billionaires, and the European billionaires. There's a whole different, yeah. I gotta tell you something. If I didn't live in Montana, I'd live in Texas. I would. I love your governor. And by the way, you know, this is on everybody's mind. We're gonna go back and forth, Gary. We've got 2 hours, okay? But even as we're talking tonight, the most dangerous event has happened in Texas with Judge Scalia's, murder. I looked up, I actually published it on my website, courtesy of some other guys, actually, that, I published it, the laws of Texas regarding all deaths in a situation like Judge Scalia, and autopsies are part of Texas law. Do you believe Governor Abbott will demand an autopsy? Because, I mean, the stories are so conflicting, and the reason why, quote, conspiracy theories, and I don't believe in conspiracy theories, I believe in conspiracy fact. When someone initiates a hit, a murder, a takeout of a Supreme Court justice who stands contrary to the current administration, I would say there's plenty of motive there. So do you believe Governor Abbott will call for an investigation, a medical investigation, and look into it? Because I can tell you this, you know, they said something's rotten in Denmark. Well, brother, something's rotten on that ranch.
You know, at first, when I first heard it and people were talking about this gives Obama a chance to nominate someone before he leaves office, and knowing that the Republicans are in charge of the Senate and that they might have enough backbone to do their job, I wasn't comfortable with the idea that he was murdered. But then I got to thinking about it, and of course I read a lot about it in the last day or so. There are so many rulings that are happening now that he won't be a part of. Just getting his vote out of the way opens up the court to vote against Second Amendment rights, for example. So there's plenty of motive to have gotten rid of him, besides the opportunity to make a nomination that may or may not go through. So, you know, what we have to realize, and this is what's so hard for people like you and me and most of the American population, we can't comprehend how evil these people are and what they are willing to do. And you know, we're at a disadvantage because of that. But the truth of the matter is, the people in power, now I'm going to make a strong statement here, Washington and the political power in Washington on both sides of the aisle, is a criminal cabal. And these people are capable of murdering millions of Middle Eastern children for the sake of moneyed interest. So would they be willing to kill up almost 80-year-old justice that stands in their way? In a minute, they would. And do they have the means? You know, and you always look at motive, means, and opportunity. Well, they got the motive, they got the means, and I think they had the opportunity.
Well, you know, it's interesting because this comes out right now at the time, this is happening as your movie's unfolding, okay? And what's interesting, you say your byline for the movie is a true story that hasn't happened yet. Maybe you're going to have to change it to a true story that's happening now. You know, when did you begin production on this?
Well, Mike Norris, who's my co-writer, he's Chuck Norris's son, he and I began writing the script about this time last year. And we started filming in January a year ago. You know, there's so many elements in the movie that are timely. There's the Second Amendment issues. The fact that we show an EMP attack on the U.S. by North Korea. Now, how timely is that? The North Koreans launched a new satellite, KMS-4, on February the 7th. That's a week ago. And they have been testing underground, and they claim hydrogen bombs, during the last few months. We've been monitoring the detonations, and our mainstream media actually makes fun of the low detonation of these underground tests, when the reality is North Korea never plans to nuke a variety of American cities. They'll never have that capability. What they want to do is do a low detonation nuclear device that will expend a greater amount of gamma rays, which is what destroys electronics. So if I were North Korea, that's exactly what I would do. And of course, we know this. There's been two congressional hearings that have told our people in power that this is the most imminent threat to this country. So you have all of this happening in the last few weeks, and then there's the UN deal where our Secretary of State, Kerry, has given the UN authority to come into our country with foreign troops for our safety in the event we have a disaster. And it just goes on and on and on.
Well, and I think it's important because in the trailer, and it's AmerageddonTheMovie.com. That's your site, is it not?
That's correct.
I think it's important. I think in 90 seconds, you show everyone's concern because, again, the going house-to-house for the guns, with the strong support of the Constitution, the Second Amendment, by Scalia, and you just mentioned this, I think it's critical that people understand that in the idea of public safety, what that means, bottom line, is everybody who's a bad guy has the weapons, everybody who's a good guy doesn't get to keep the weapons, and the bad guys come after the good guys. And I think that's important. So, Gary, if you were to say, you know, in your movie, you know, run through what you want the people to understand, because I thought the guy that's you know, initiating the order to our president, showing he's basically a puppet. I once said that, you know, if everybody saw the strings attached to the White House, they'd think that, you know, that there's no thread left in the world because it all runs to Pennsylvania Avenue. So, you know, give us, if you would, a rundown on Amerageddon, the movie, and what's the most, you know, half a dozen, or what do you want people to leave with? Because I thought the 90 seconds was so compelling. I put it up on my website, I think, three times in one day, and I said, you've got to watch this. You've got to understand that what is going on, what's being portrayed in Amerageddon, it's like, and these are my words, surfing the headlines. In other words, with every new headline, And these headlines are building. And it's, I don't even know, Gary, I know that you probably, you know, have some idea, but when this is released in theaters, etc., I'm trying to second guess, and maybe I shouldn't do that, but what events will be in play? Well, it's playing out. In essence, you've got a movie on the screen, Armageddon. You're dealing with the EMP attack on the United States of America. You're dealing with the confiscation of firearms. You're dealing with the takedown of the United States from enemies within being controlled, the enemies in Washington being controlled by both the enemies within and the enemies without. And I mean, that blows my mind. Like I said, 90 seconds, you give them a reality check. So what are the other things that you're going to portray in the movie, obviously without, you know, giving anything away, but I'm afraid the headlines will probably, you know, basically, you and Mike are going to have to say, you know, hey, you know, we may need to bring this out a little sooner. Obviously, I'm chopping at the bit, and Doug, Joe, I've been talking to Gary and say, man, we got to get this thing out there. When I say we, I'm talking about those of us who are helping him in the field of the alternative radio, alternative media, and so go ahead and take your time and deal with that issue.
Well, first of all, the purpose of making the movie, and I want to restate that, to try to get people's attention is really tough. And I realize that people enjoy being entertained. And so if you can make a movie that's entertaining, but it's also fact-based, and I was committed to everything being as accurate as we possibly could make it, and it's kind of almost eerie right now with all of these things going on just as the movie's coming out. But I wanted people that have a passion for truth that, and also a duty to warn people of what's coming. And we all know the names were called and the ridicule we get for doing it. This is a vehicle for all of us to come together, the Hagmans and you, and, you know, Alex Jones had a neat role in the movie. He played the evil senator, and he was particularly evil. He did a fantastic job. And so we created this entertaining movie as fact-based as possible so that we could get the message out and people would come and watch. We could bring our friends. We could bring our family members that you know, they really don't like to listen to this when we try to talk to them about it. And so hopefully this is going to be a tool for all of us to use to wake people up in this country, to wake as many people up as we can while we still have time. And I think the story begins with recognizing that we have lost our country. Our country is controlled by a shadow government. It's controlled by an elite that have in their sights a one-world government. And they've been working on it for many, many years. And they have accomplished so much of it. And the timing now to finish what they've begun is imminent. And I want, first of all, people to realize that, for example, the president is just a puppet. He was brought into office through the interest of these people in power, and he makes his decisions and policies and what we do in the Middle East or the Ukraine or at the border are all part of what he's told to do. And if you want some evidence of this, this last year, Princeton and Northwestern published a study, and it's real easy to find online. And they looked at policies, federal policies, from 1981 to 2002. And they wanted to determine who influenced federal policy. was it the voters of America? Were policies instituted in their interest? Or was it in the interest of those people that have money and influence? And their conclusion in their study is that the average American voter has zero influence on federal policy. And in fact, the moneyed interest in this country are the ones that make the decisions. Jimmy Carter, who was somebody that I would think I would never agree with, came out, I think it was in December, just a few months ago, and said, America is no longer a democracy, it's an oligarchy. And that's Jimmy Carter, the man who had a staff of trilateralists on his program. And so there's really, and I think most Americans realize that that we no longer have a country that is a constitutional republic. It's a criminal organization now. And so, you know, when you realize that, and you've got to begin there, you know, if these people don't have our interests at heart and have only their own power and acquisition of wealth at heart, what would they be willing to do to diminish us? Now, Henry Kissinger said a few years ago that the only thing standing in the way of a new world order is a strong America. And he fully intends, along with a lot of other people like George Soros, to diminish the U.S. so that they can build a world power. And there's a principle called the Hegelian dialectic. It's also known as the Cloward and Piven strategy, named after a couple of Princeton professors. And that's to create chaos. And if you're in power and you create chaos, it's an opportunity to acquire more power in your attempt to solve that chaos. So they deliberately create chaos. And opening the borders to unvetted Syrians is a, you know, what using your common sense, who in the world would do that? There's no reason to do that. You know, you can put this thing on hold until the FBI can figure out how to vet them. And what a novel idea. Hey, let's not go to Syria and destroy their homes and their livelihoods in the first place, so they would have to flee. You know, this is a deliberate effort to create chaos in our country so that they can assume more power as a result of it. And so if that's their strategy, then, again, what are they willing to do? Well, I believe they're willing to let North Korea detonate an EMP bomb over our country. Talk about diminishing our country so that they can bring in their new world order. And so the movie begins with my character going before a Senate hearing, challenging them to do something to protect our country from its most imminent threat. And there were two congressional hearings, I believe there were 2006 and 2008, where we had EMP commissions, and people like Dr. Peter Pry, who's an expert on this, testified that this is a real threat, and we need to do something about it. And our government initially had a law that they were going to pursue to harden our grid. And what that means is take the electronics around our country, particularly the power transformer boxes on all of our utilities across the country, and harden them. The cost was about $2 billion to harden the grid so that our electrical grid system wouldn't be destroyed from an EMP. And instead of passing that law and funding it, they, which, and by the way, we gave Pakistan $2 billion last year. So this isn't a lot of money to protect our country. And to jump ahead a little bit, if that satellite North Korea has coming over the United States three times a day at 300 miles above our surface, which is the optimum altitude for an EMP device, if that goes off, you have the electrical grid in the entire country destroyed, and it will be destroyed. Some of these transformers take 3 years to replace. And by the way, they're only made in China now. And this entire country would be without electricity. That means that most water systems would cease to function. You'd have no water in your homes. The internet would go down. The banks would close. There would be no banking systems. There would be no on-time delivery of groceries. There would be no delivery of fuel. We would be back to the 1800s. And the EMP Commission determined that within 12 months, 90% of Americans would be dead. So I'm arguing that they do something, and they're arguing back that I'm a nut. And then, of course, the EMP happens. And one of the side benefits of the movie is the prepping that I do. And, you know, I'm an old Boy Scout, so, you know, having food and water and protection in your home is kind of a no-brainer to me under any circumstances. But with a government that is committed to bringing down our country, it's absolutely foolish not to take some kind of preparation. The average American is 9 meals away from starvation. People don't have provisions in their home. And so I show how to prep for this and what the preps mean after it happens. Another interesting thing that I show is that the star in the movie is a young lieutenant. And he's my kind of my protege in the movie. And, you know, he's fully aware of the threat to his country. And serving in the Army as an officer, he is faced with a decision where he's ordered to fire on American citizens when he's told to take away their weapons. And I want a million soldiers to watch this movie so that they can see this decision and how he goes about making it. And we actually have him say in the movie that he is not required as an American soldier to obey an unconstitutional order. And this is important that soldiers all over America see this movie so that they can think about this before they're asked to do it one day. So the themes, as you notice, are based on a lot of facts. I'll give you another one. The National Defense Authorization Act. I'm sure our audience is familiar with that, but our Congress each year renews this thing. And I'll tell you a funny story. I grabbed my congressman last year, and I said, did you read the National Defense Authorization Act that you voted on? And he said, well, no, not really. And I said, you do realize that you passed a law that says that the president can declare an emergency for any reason where he can arrest anyone suspected of terrorism or terrorism ties, have them arrested, held without charges, without legal defense, indefinitely. And you have just removed the Fourth and Fifth Amendment to the Constitution. Do you realize as a Republican that you did that? And his answer, and it's in the movie, by the way. I actually quoted him in the movie. His answer was, it was just a funding bill. And the other executive order that's so horrible is Executive Order 16. Lost my number on it. I'll think of it in a second. Where the president, again, can declare an emergency for any reason, and 13603. And he can take possession of all food, all provision. I'm standing here on my ranch. He can come and get my tractor. He can come and get me and draft me into a workforce without pay, by the way. It's specified in there. That executive order stands today. And not one Republican that I know of has stood up and said, hell no, you're not going to create a dictatorship at your choosing. So we quote these things, we quote Kissinger, we bring all this evidence we possibly can and weave it into the story.
Well, I think, too, that it's important for people to understand that this is unfolding in real time. And as it unfolds in real time, obviously, Gary, it's going to become more, how should I say this, sinister in the ramifications. For instance, and I apologize for someone trying to beep in. I don't know how to shut it off on this phone system. The point is that we're now living your screenplay, and very soon, and I pray, this is my prayer, and you know I've prayed for this, that people will have their eyes open when I say entertaining, it's like, unless it's in a movie, I understand why God had to do this, by the way, the very median that would bewitch, betray, and ultimately destroy people, God, when he puts his fingerprints on it, obviously can use the very thing that the devil meant for destruction to, as you want more than anything, and as your efforts around the world to feed the starving, to feed the women, to do what you do, to basically get people's not only eyes open, but hearts open. You know, as you said, and as you have declared, that one of your heart's desires is that the servicemen would see this and understand. For so many years, you know, those of us on talk radio, alternative radio, have been warning about the training going on in the United States by all these foreign governments. By the way, the United Nations are the ones that are directing the whole immigration policy. And I don't call them immigrants, the illegals, I call invasionists, okay? And you made a powerful statement. They wouldn't be coming here if we weren't blowing them up over there. And so now you've got the intense, if you will, revelations of just how corrupt this country has become. And, you know, the point is that in your, if you will, prayerful consideration, what do you hope at the end of the movie people understand? Because you say you lay it out, and I've only seen, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make clear, I've only seen the 90-second trailer, and yet I get where he's going, and Gary's, you know, giving me some tidbits. I wish I could have twisted his arm. I guess I didn't twist your arm hard enough. I would have loved to have seen the whole movie, but, you know, everybody doesn't want me around when they're watching movies because I'm one of those guys that says, and you ought to see the end, it's really cool. But the point is that I think the idea is that at this point that people have got to prepare and I didn't see this. So in the movie, do you contrast the people that prepared versus the ones that didn't?
Yes, that's correct. And believe me, the number of people that prepare is I am sickened by it. You know, it's maybe 3% of the population right now. If we could get that to 10%. Then we could save millions of people.
Do you believe by the people you run into, and let's say Mike Norris too, because obviously you guys work together, but you have your spheres of influence apart from each other. I mean, would you guess, and just throw a number out there, because I'd ask myself it, but I want to ask you it, how many people that you rub shoulders with really get it, and by my definition of getting it is understand what's going on and getting ready to happen, and are preparing and doing whatever they can to prepare and plan for their family safety?
You know, I have a counseling degree, so I've studied the psychology of all of this over the years. So let me give you a little broader answer to that, and then I'll be specific. You know, we operate with a what's called a normalcy bias, and more and more people are learning what that means, but it's a psychological state that actually works as a defense mechanism. And the way it works is that when you're faced with evidence that threatens your existence, your status, we automatically deny it. And the more vested we are, you know, I was talking about the billionaires or the intellectuals or the college professors, the more vested we are, and the greater threat that evidence is to it, the more creative we get in denying that evidence. And probably a good example right now is bringing in the unvetted, what was your word, refugees?
I call them invasionists.
Invasionist. Well, what percent of them are? You know, we know for the FBI says that up to 10% of them may be. So, why do we let them into our country when we can't vet them? And I'm all for immigration. We all are products of it, most of us. But to the common sense of saying, let's make sure that we're bringing in people that are coming for the right motive. You don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat or whatever to come to that logical conclusion. So how is it that so many people can come to the conclusion that, hey, this is a pretty good idea, let's bring them in here whether we can vet them or not, knowing that some percentage of them are radicalized and are coming to cause harm here? How do you make a decision that that's a pretty good idea? And Europe is a good example right now. You know, where does Merkel come up with it's a pretty good idea to bring all these, a million unvetted immigrants into our country? And the answer to that is one of several things. It can be a normalcy bias because we want to be good people. You know, we want to open our arms to these people that are struggling and so forth. And I get all that. But a normalcy bias kind of blinds us to the evidence that we can't necessarily have an open border without some vigilance involved with it. And by the way, it kind of brings me up to another angle that I like to talk about. You know, there are three or four reasons people tend to do stupid things. One of them is they're just apathetic. You know, they just don't care. And you got a lot of people in our country right now to defend them a little bit, it's a struggle to get to work and to take care of your kids and to pay your taxes and they just don't have time to care about these serious issues. Then you've got the ignorant, those that just don't know and are not motivated to learn about it. So between the ignorant and the apathetic, these people in power are able to accomplish extraordinary things at our expense. But then you've got people like Merkel who just is plain evil. And these people in power in Washington that are continually voting against the interest of their constituents and then coming back and lying about it. It's just evil. So people like us, you and me, the Hagmans, we have an obligation, in fact a better word is a compulsion for truth. Now we serve the author of truth. And talking about this puts me at risk. You know, Steve, you're on every red and blue and green list in the world. Yeah, me talking.
I tell people I'm on the list in the ultraviolet realm.
But you know what? It doesn't matter because we, first of all, we have a duty to a God that loves us, who requires us to be obedient. So there's no getting out of that. But there's this compulsion for truth. We have to tell the truth no matter where it leads us. It's our job to warn people. It's our job to speak truth, speak truth to power. And it really doesn't matter the consequences for that. So anyway, having said all that, You know, I think people talk about 3% of the population are prepping for, you know, for difficult times, and I think that's probably about right. You know, let me throw another idea out there, and that's the financial Armageddon that's going to be coming. You know, even if you have trouble getting your hands around, you know, North Korea and an EMP, and our government would actually, the people in power that would actually enable that to happen so they could acquire more power. Those things are difficult. Here's one that's not really difficult. You know, we just passed $19 trillion in federal debt the other day. Now, that didn't include the $100 to $200, and I'm being conservative, trillion in unfunded liabilities that are there. And if you just take $100 trillion, and there's 100 million American families, the average American family owes $1 million. And what's the likelihood that's going to be paid back? What's the likelihood we could even service that debt, even if there was no interest on it? We are in a financial Armageddon right now, as a result of the policies of our federal government and the criminal cabal that exists there. And of course, they can't get away with it except that they own the media. And 98% of the mainstream media is owned by six corporations. And on the boards of those corporations sit the same people, as well as the corporatists that buy the advertising, influence the policy. We have a media in this country that, instead of being a watchdog, is a lapdog. And thank God for what you're doing, Steve, and the Hagmans and the alternative media. It's the only source of truth. And, you know, yeah, you've got to discern everything you look at. But if we didn't have the Internet and we didn't have alternative media, it would be hopeless. As it stands now, it's hard to say it's hopeful. But God has, as he said, and I believe it's 2 Thessalonians 2:20, he said that because we rejected righteousness, that he would give us great deception. And our country is bought into the deception that killing unborn babies, and I don't know if you saw what New York did today.
Yes, I did. I put it up on my website.
You know, they're moving towards abortion to the day of delivery. And I tell you, I'm so proud to live in Texas. Texas, this last year, passed the 20-week law so that you can't abort a baby after 20 weeks. They also required abortion facilities to have certain care levels, and that caused most of the abortuaries in this state to close. I was so privileged to be on the podium when we swore in our governor, Greg Abbott, and the lieutenant governor. I was up there with about 50, 75 people, and both of these men at the podium, and they've already won the election, so they aren't saying this to get votes. But both of them, and I'll paraphrase it, the lieutenant governor said, I have respect for all religions, but I'm a Christian first, and we will pass no laws in this state that are not consistent with the Judeo-Christian values. So I live in a state that is the complete opposite of New York. You know, we value our Judeo-Christian traditions and values and are acting on it. And as a result, I believe Texas may be preserved as a sanctuary. I'm Gary? Friends with the governor. And
hey, Gary, you got to hold a minute now. Just hold that thought because we got to take a break.
Good deal.
Right on, Steve. Thank you. Folks, you're listening to this Tuesday edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are joined by Steve Quayle
and Mr. Gary Haven. Armageddon. Go ahead.
Yeah, Armageddon is the name of the movie that is being finished by Gary. You can find the trailer on Facebook, Armageddon. We're going to come back with these two right on the other side. Stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.